From Bookish Media, everything that happened in the book world last week. It was impossible to choose what to get into this week because there are genuinely so many updates in the book world. Authors announced new books, major adaptations were picked up, casting updates dropped, and somehow that still wasn't even half of it. If you think you know everything that went on last week, think again, because today we're jumping into everything you might have missed. Buckle in and get ready to add some titles to your reading and watch list. Releasing on November 3 of this year, Bad Idea will follow AJ Connolly and Evie Di Laurentiis. In true L. Kennedy fashion, this will be a spin-off book about Dean Di Laurentiis' daughter and Jake Connolly's son. There's no official synopsis or cover yet, but we should expect one soon if the release is this year. I'm slowly but surely making my way through Kennedy's spin-off books, but I haven't read Love Song with a Charlie Method yet. I could not determine which book Evie and AJ have appeared in, but a few Goodreads reviews allude to them having some contact with each other in a past book. In the past, I've never been the biggest fan of spin-off books by any author or in any universe because they often feel like stretching a story too thin. I don't mind a few glimpses of other characters, but anything more than that feels too muddy. I don't want to pick up a new series and meet a bunch of characters I don't understand because I didn't read the original series. I think L. Kennedy did a very smart job with the spin-off for the kids, so it lets the original couples feel completely new. Megan Quinn, who also writes hockey romances, has two series that subtly intertwine yet still feel completely new. They are my blueprints. So all in all, I'm excited for Bad Idea, but I definitely feel like I should read the other books to make sure I know the history between these two. Are you still excited by next generation spin-off books, or are publishers, authors relying too heavily on familiar universes? As the show travels back to the summer of 1999, so do the characters. In the original development agreement for the series, the rights were for both We Were Liars and its prequel, Family of Liars. Also in the deal was E. Lockhart's standalone novel Again and Again. Season 2 is confirmed to draw on Family of Liars, which explores Carrie, Penny, and Bess as teenagers. In flashbacks, we see Carrie, Penny, and Bess navigate their own teenage summer as they come to terms with their past and the present day. The new cast additions include Josh Dallas Once Upon a Time, Young Harris Sinclair Peytonless Mad Men, Young Tipper Sinclair Parker Lapin House of the Dragons, Young Carrie Sinclair Elijah Rohrbuck The Pit, Young Penny Sinclair Madison Wolf The Hunting Wives, Young Bess Sinclair Cost The D'Angelo Tell Me Lies, Fifth new character now, if I'm being honest here, I still have not read Family of Liars. The official logline for the series reads, in an effort to confront her truth, Cadence returns to Beechwood. As she digs deeper into family secrets, she learns about the Sinclair sisters' summer of 1999, a summer rife with first love, rivalry, and even murder. I loved We Were Liars, but the ending broke me, so I have taken a few years break. Now that season 2 is in the works, I will most definitely go back to the world. Written by Lynn Painter, Better Than the Movies is about a high school senior, Liz, who uses her love for rom-coms to try to get the attention of her crush, Michael. Then her next-door neighbor, Wes, enters the picture as Michael's friend. Since the boys are friends, Liz is one step closer to her crush seeing her, so Liz and Wes schemed a fake date. On top of directing the movie for Netflix, Julie Ahart is a co-writer on the project with her husband and creative partner Jordan Horowitz. They have written one draft, and Heather Flanders has completed one as well. I can't quite recall why I didn't love this book, but I definitely see why it makes sense as a movie. I love Lynn Painter's writing and the way she brings Gen Z lifestyles and dialogues to life, but something didn't do it for me in Better Than the Movies. Maybe my expectations for #BookTok were too high, but I will still reread it closer to the film's release. Ahead of its release this year, Freda McFadden's The Divorce has been optioned by Studio Canal. The project is in early development, with Studio Canal fully financing the film and co-producing with Working Title. The current plan is to release the movie theatrically across Italy, Germany, France, the UK, Poland, Australia, and New Zealand. I'm delighted to be working with the teams at Studio Canal and Working Title to bring The Divorce to the big screen. From the start, they have come forward with an unparalleled enthusiasm and a strong vision for how to get this project off the ground. I can't wait to see what unfolds. Freda McFadden, The Divorce follows Naomi after her husband kicks her out of their home, drains their bank accounts, and hires a divorce attorney. In return, Naomi becomes fixated on uncovering secrets about his new 20-something, your old girlfriend. At this point, I've probably read 10 free Yetta McFadden novels, and only one has wowed me. That's not to say I haven't enjoyed the others, but only one has 5 stars in my brain, and that's never lie. I think McFadden writes perfect thrillers for several readers. Readers who want to dip their toes in the thriller genre, readers who find themselves in a book slump, readers who want to escape into a fun, easy thriller. Her books are reliable and predictable thrillers. Considering I love The Housemaid more as a movie than as a book, I'm actually quite excited to see this book come to the screen. Some of the books, like The Teacher or The Inmate, live better on the page than the screen, but color me intrigued. The book releases on May 26th, so we will have to wait until then. Sunny is Hello Sunshine's brand for younger women, and every other month, they choose a Sunny Reads pick and treat it similarly to a book club. It helps with reading inspiration and is very low pressure for those looking to join a club. Their May pick is That Which Feeds Us by Keila Kendall, and follows a native Hawaiian teen as she travels to a luxury island resort in search of her missing twin, and uncovers the dark side of paradise. I had the pleasure of chatting with Keila Kendall about her journey in writing this book, and what it means to her to have readers read this story. In the early stages of writing this story, Kendall described the process as ingredient sourcing, where everything in her life adds to the book, but there are certain aspects that will be the starter dish or something to bring out that flavor. But at her core, Kendall has always been a fan of social horror commentary and always wanted a story about Hawaii, so that which feeds us was born. White Lotus, combined with a feeling of homesickness, were also a major building block of this story. A few months after the first draft was written, Lahaina, Hawaii, suffered from devastating wildfires, which was the original inspiration for the fictional resort in the novel. Kendall said it was heartbreaking, but she couldn't imagine taking it out of the story because it would feel like losing it all over again. The anticipation around the book has already been massive. Last December, That Which Feeds Us was the fourth most requested novel on NetGalley. Kendall describes last year as a year of many firsts, and 2026 already feels the same. It's impossible to track, but she says they're pretty confident it's the first Native Hawaiian book to be carried in Target. Despite being feeling pressure about this book, Kendall says she just wants readers to see how great her Hawaiian culture and people are. I can't believe Elwood's touched my book, Kila Kendall. Hearing an author speak with such passion is already enough to convince me to read this book, but it's unique.